Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly Nerdcast where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in this week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So, spoiler warning, if you have not watched the latest in nerd television, including Gotham, Flash, Arrow, Heroes Reborn, Doctor Who, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Jessica Jones, pause this podcast, go watch the shows, join us again for the fun. Along with that, warning, explicit content may be on this podcast, so it may not be suitable for all listeners. Jesus Christ, I hate that shit. I'm just kidding, guys.
Welcome, everybody. This week, we'll be covering the past 2 weeks in the latest in everything.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. We didn't podcast last week due to myself. I had this horrible toothache. Couldn't really even, like, talk at all. It was pretty, like, bad.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, like, just excruciating pain was just, like, just paralyzing. I couldn't do anything.
But luckily, we know a discreet dental assistant who will remain unnamed for his own protection or her own protection. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I know it's after Thanksgiving, but, you know, it was Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
So happy Thanksgiving to you all. How was your week, Scott?
It was pretty busy. You know, I started my new job a couple weeks ago. I had mentioned on our last podcast. It's pretty busy hours. Only really get like Wednesday and every other Sunday and sometimes Tuesday off. I work from like 7 in the morning to like 7 at night, so it's pretty busy. But I really enjoy the job, so that's all that matters, I guess, really.
Yeah.
And making pretty good money, so that's a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Thanksgiving this week.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. There was food. And I do like food.
Well, who doesn't like food?
So, I have a question for the listeners. What is your favorite Thanksgiving-themed comic issue? You can reach us at Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, or even our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Leave your answer in the forum section.
Yeah, all that fun and nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
I went and saw the new Disney movie, The Good Dinosaur.
Lucky.
It was
pretty good. I was
at
work.
Yeah, he was at work. It's sad.
I heard it was, yeah. Yeah, you
but
told
it,
me it was sad,
but it was also
right?
It was also very good. It was more than just sadness. There was other things that warmed my heart.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, and if you didn't know, you could take a picture sitting on Deadpool's lap at the mall.
I seen the
movie theater.
Yeah, yeah. You posted on your own Instagram of our nephew posed with him, and I was like, lucky.
Yeah.
I was like, I want a picture with Deadpool.
They can sit on his lap.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to break that shit, but hell yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's actually one of the pieces of news we had this week, too.
Oh.
But we don't have to talk about that now.
Yay, but, high five to us.
You just high fived yourself.
Shh, they didn't know that.
Anyway, let's get into some of this news. We're going to start with the older news and then move our way into the newer news. So, Warner Brothers officially announced the beginning of principal photography on the forthcoming Wonder Woman solo film. So, we have a new look at Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, plus confirmation that Chris Pine will be Captain Steve Trevor. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. We got a picture. Yeah, pictures. Woo-woo.
Picture. Sweet.
Awesome.
She
looks cool.
I mean, she does look cool. I will admit that. But,
so, and along with that, we know...
Pictures mean nothing.
Yeah. We know that, of course, she'll be making her debut alongside Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill in Batman vs. Superman, March 25th. Sorry, not May. It was originally scheduled for May. So, excuse that. March 25th, 2016. And her film is set to be released June 23rd, 2017.
Yeah. I definitely feel that, based on how well she does in that movie, will definitely set the tone for how hyped up, I guess, the Wonder Woman movie is going to be.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that Batman vs. Superman for so many different reasons, but...
Right, it's just like,
I mean,
we can't really, like, form an opinion on how the Spider-Man movie in 2017 will be until we see him in Civil War next year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a good way to gauge how well she can portray Wonder Woman really is, just, you know, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because it really does come down to the acting as well as the writing and things like that. So there have been rumors for a while going on about Netflix's Iron Fist series that's supposed to be released. People saying that they're having issues with it, they don't know how to tie it in and all this stuff. And this week, Jeff Lowe pretty much came out and said that's all bukkake.
Bukkake. Yeah. Word of the day, guys.
He pretty much said there's never been any change on Iron Fist. The plans are continuing unabated. This is the quote. There was a lot of speculation about what was going on with Iron Fist because fans hadn't heard anything about it, but there's never been any change at all. When asked if that's what happened, what he said, when fans asked what can they expect news in the near future on a star or showrunner, he just said the short answer is, yeah, there'll be news, obviously. We always get news.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is I think the fans are just getting restless at this point. They want to know what Iron Fist is going to be doing.
Well, I think they just want to see him in other shows before, like we see Luke Cage right now and Jessica Jones.
Well, to be fair, though, I mean, we didn't see any of the characters that we're seeing now in Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Right.
I mean, does that mean that, you know, Jessica Jones or Luke Cage was ever going to be canceled? No, it's just people are stupid and impatient. I mean, that's what the bottom line is really. Right. Is just, don't worry, guys. Iron Fist is still there, and I'm glad that they're not changing that because, you know, hey,
you know, with all, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's badass. But I would say that one of the rumors was that Punisher was kind of supposed to take his spot. I wouldn't really mind him being added onto the team. I don't really think that he should be taken out necessarily, but I do feel that Punisher could be a great character slot for, like, a fifth member.
Right, yeah, and the other one of the rumors was, that was widely circulated, was that Iron Fist may be reconceptualized as a made-for-Netflix film with a Punisher series taking its place, which is a claim that Joe Quesada rejected during the Jessica Jones premiere event.
Yeah, so why don't you guys just be patient, sit back, grab your popcorn and soda, you know, and just wait for some damn news to come out.
Right, what he said. Okay, so our favorite get knocked out every week, do weird, cool parkour move, actor Colin Haynes.
Hell yeah, man, pretty central.
Yeah, he's coming back to play Roy Harper.
Roy!
Yeah, so they pretty much said, we are beyond thrilled that Colin will be returning to Arrow this season.
Ooh, beyond thrilled.
It was always our intention.
Ecstatic!
It was always critical our hit. Intention to have him return following his departure last season, but it was a matter of finding the right storyline to pull it off. The opportunity presented itself in episode 412, which is season 4, episode 12.
Oh, really? And we can't Batman.
Wait for the fans to see this reunion, so.
Didn't know, they're just waiting for some good Batman storylines to appear.
Yes, they were. So, some exciting news. So, we had originally kind of guessed that Legends of Tomorrow would be the fall show next year in 2016, because I said 2016. Now we have a confirmed date of January 2016.
Dude, that is close.
January 21st.
Holy shit. Guys, I don't know if you guys can do the math, but that's like, it's pretty close.
Yeah, so. It's pretty close. The series has a 15-episode order at the CW. This series will launch out of the upcoming Arrow Flash crossover, which is this week, if you guys didn't know.
Hell yeah!
So, yeah, I'm pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's super exciting for multiple reasons. I feel like, this is, like, their first go at, like a live-action television show for, like, a Justice League-type grouping.
Right.
It's not to say that this is their Justice League, but it is, like, an attempt at it, really, if you think about it. It's just a group of superhuman beings of some sort or another, and we're going to see how it kind of goes. I think this will be their trial run for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. So, as we had mentioned earlier, this Christmas you can sit on Deadpool's lap at a theater near you.
Oh, hell yeah.
So the theater I saw him at was a UA theater. I'm not sure if it's strictly UA theaters or any theater. And it doesn't always specify in this either.
I think what we're all really waiting for is the Deadpool movie, so what does it matter?
Yeah, the Deadpool movie's not far away.
Oh,
so.
Man, I can't fucking wait, dude. Yeah. February 12th?
Yeah.
Ooh!
Pumped to death.
So. Yeah, man. Look at that. Look at those guns. I've been working out, bro.
Guys, Agent Carter is coming season 2 in January. January 5th at 9 p.m. So, taking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s time slot over here.
Over here for a while.
So, this is very exciting stuff. But, yeah, pretty much just saying the same thing. So, after Agent Carter season 2 ends, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will return on ABC on Tuesday, March 8th. This is a long break between shows. So, you're telling me that the fall finale of Flash and Arrow are both, respectively, December 8th and 9th, and we have to wait until March to see them again? Did this happen last year? I remember there was a long break. There was a long break. I know they have, like, the fall finales, and there's a long break.
I think it's, like, 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. I'm not sure. I don't think it's more than a month.
I know Gotham's isn't as long. Like, Gotham's season finale is this week, or fall finale is this week.
Man, that kind of makes me actually sad.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, do you think, during last season we would ever have said that?
I think last season, well, we were still doing videos at this time last season. Really? Right after the fall
finale. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, right after the fall finale is like around Christmas time, we did the reviews on all this stuff on our first podcast on like the fall finales with Nathan and Colton. We talked about our predictions for what we're most excited about this year, Daredevil. We talked about Star Wars. We talked about Age of Ultron.
Dude, holy shit, dude.
We'll have to do a year wrap-up again.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
So you guys should be looking forward to for that sometime. I mean, assuming probably like the last week of December sometime.
Yeah.
We'll let you guys know more on that.
For sure. But yeah, we're mad excited about Agent Carter too. So.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Well, yeah, that. So. Supergirl is going to be casting a young Superman for later in the season. Do we care about this? Do we care about young Superman? Is this going to be flashback Superman?
Will it be Tom Wellings?
I don't think he's young anymore.
You can make him look young.
Yeah.
I'm young.
You could be Superman?
I could.
Yeah. Why not?
You know?
Yeah. I mean...
As long as Superman went through like an obese period.
When his younger years, that'd be a good one. That'd be a good one. So we finally have Doctor Strange confirmation news. The full cast is officially confirmed.
We want trailers. We want. Oh, you're not gonna chat with me. Okay.
Oh, we want trailers. we have random pictures, but we don't care about those
pictures. Nah, brah.
Yes. So, we do know that, of course, Doctor Strange will be played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then this guy whose name we can't pronounce, Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think that's how you say it, he's Baron Mordo. Rachel McAdams, Michael Stuhlbarg, Mads Mikkelsen, they don't tell us who are they all playing the Ancient One? And Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. Our other cast members previously reported to be in film include Scott Adkins and Amy Landecker. We know when it comes out. We know who's directing it.
That's a lot of people to play one character.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if that's right, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure you can go over to the IMDb and check it out.
Yeah, probably.
So. More Netflix news! Marvel's Luke Cage adds Sonya Braga as Claire Temple's mommy.
Oh, hello, mommy.
So, the way they describe...
Claire Temple is a fox.
Soldad Temple is a character as strong as Claire, needs an equally powerful mother. And with Sonya, we found the perfect actress to deliver the stellar performance we needed. Jeff Loeb said that in Marvel's Luke Cage, fans will now get a chance to see where Claire got the fire we love for her for. Does she have fire? Did she have a lot of fire?
Ooh, she was spunky.
I know she saw fire.
No, she's spunky.
Ooh.
Ooh.
sass.
Oof, I like that.
You want some lug nuts? So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. We do know Luke Cage will come out next year, 2016 probably, in April, when Daredevil came out this year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's real exciting stuff there.
I feel like it should be very interesting. I mean, not to give away anything from Jessica Jones, but just the dynamic we've seen from him. Mm-hmm. Should be interesting to see how, like what are they going to do with his own storyline, yeah, kind
of
deal.
And, of course, we haven't finished Jessica Jones either. We haven't. We have to see where he goes through the rest of it.
Yeah, Mike came out of nowhere.
So, this should come as no surprise to anyone.
I hate you.
Me?
No.
Oh, this?
Yes.
Okay, so the Fantastic Four sequel has been pulled from Fox's schedule.
Oh, never mind. I don't know. Apparently, my eyes like to read things out of order. I read Fantastic Four sequel schedule. I was like, no. Thank God, though. Honestly.
I think Star Wars has made more money in pre-sales than this movie has made altogether.
Yes, I totally agree. You know what would be cool, though, is if... Well, now that it's been pulled from the schedule, maybe Fox might just deal it over to Marvel. And hopefully Marvel actually just keeps the same, like, Fantastic Four. Because they are pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I must really say. Good. Like, they're really good. Yeah. So we did get a new Legends of Tomorrow trailer. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't.
Oh, interesting. Well, Scott's going to watch it right now while I talk.
Okay.
But it's actually a really good trailer. But
shh, I can't hear. I'm just kidding.
Essentially deals with the same things we're already going to see. Vandal Savage, Rip Hunter, the team we see, Firestorm's other half in it. I'll just commentate on it as it's happening. We see Vandal Savage here, walking around, looking around. And now Victor Garber Martinstein is talking to Rip Hunter. Rip Hunter is showing him a cool spaceship cloaked. Which could be the invisible jet. Who knows? Wonder Woman's technology could be seeping in through here. Vandal Savage is being a dickwad. And, you know, Rip Hunter's essentially gathering the team together. So, we have the Atom, of course. White Canary. Sarah Lance, if you didn't know. She's looking pretty fine right there. You know. Heatwave and Captain Cold. What? We got Firestorm, both halves. Now we know why they only had the one half in before. We have Hawkman and Hawkgirl looking pretty cool, flying around. Lover spat right there. So, this is actually really exciting stuff. Legends of Tomorrow is a show we've been waiting for a while, and it's exciting to get the full final trailer for it. We were excited when we got the one previously, so I can't wait to see what comes from this show. We know it's going to deal with time travel. To me, this is going to be Doctor Who with superheroes, which is extremely exciting. We're also dealing with Vandal Savage, who is a character we haven't seen before, nothing like him. We haven't seen his, you know, the immortality of a character like that. Like, we kind of have Damian Darhk right now, which is similar, but nothing like what Vandal Savage becomes. And it's kind of like unstoppable. We're going to get to see a new team, new dynamics. It's going to be fantastic. Hawkman and Hawkgirl, who would have ever thought we'd see them in a show like this? Firestorm coming out of the Flash. Can't wait to see him in this new environment. So, I mean, I'm just super excited. And the role Rip Hunter plays, like, Rip Hunter is a very underrated character. So, Scott's just finishing up the trailer right now. A little bar fight here. Just like kind of Firefly style, old school. We have the date, January 21st. And let's talk about how exciting it is that this is on a Thursday. You can talk now. Oh, you wanted to see the credits? Heroes Join Forces, 2-episode crossover event. Scott is sucking his thumb right now. I think that means he's excited. But yeah, so we finally get, you know, the kind of, full circling out of our schedule. We have our Monday shows, our Tuesday shows, our Wednesday shows. Now we finally have a Thursday show. If only we had a Friday show, but that would probably get canceled.
Oh my God.
Scott just had a baby.
Oh my God. Jesus. There's so much in that trailer.
Yeah.
So many. The CGIs.
Yeah, CG's very good. Did you hear my commentary?
No.
Good.
and the Vandal Savages. Yeah. And the reference to Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man.
And,
oh, man.
Yeah. To me, I mentioned that this seems like Doctor Who with superheroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it seems exactly.
Pretty accurate. And then they had, like, the bar fight, which to me is very, it reminds me a lot of the Firefly bar fights.
Yeah.
So if we get, like, space parts like that and, like, all this kind of stuff.
I honestly can't even, like, describe how excited I am. Oh, my God. It's
yeah, very exciting. Can't wait for this either.
Yes.
So,
Jesus.
Finally, something super exciting. We got a Civil War trailer. It was so good. Ah,
so good.
So, did you want to talk about your favorite parts of it?
How long was the video?
The trailer?
Yeah.
It's like 2 minutes-ish.
So my favorite part was 120 seconds of pure awesome.
This is 227. 2 minutes and 27 seconds. So 147 seconds. 2 minutes and 26 seconds. 27 seconds. 147 seconds. You get it.
Yeah. I think the gist of that statement was, holy fuck, this entire thing was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looked good. Holy fuck. Black Panther looked awesome.
Black Panther was so cool. And then, like, just, like, the dynamic between Captain America and Iron Man was great. The fight choreography when Winter Soldier and Captain America were both fighting Iron Man at the same time, that was so cool. I just can't wait to see what the actual, what comes of it. What is what actually splits them up. You know, like, we do see Captain America get handed over some paperwork. Which to me kind of seems like the Superhero Registration Act in a way. So, I don't know. I can't wait to see Spider-Man.
So, what I think is going to happen in this movie now is, like, you kind of have, like, a general outline of, you know, it's definitely not going to be the Civil War we know and we love.
Right.
It will be kind of like the outline, just, like, highlights of it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the different plot points kind of deal, just like just different series of events that create it will be completely different.
It will it'll
you
be
you definitely won't have like your like the incident or whatever.
I think we've already had plenty of incidents. Yeah.
Stanford.
Yeah.
The whole thing that launched the, you know, the Superhero Registration Act. Mm-hmm. In Civil War, you definitely, that I don't think that will be the same at all.
Right.
I think it will be something Bucky does.
I think it's what Bucky already did. I think it's the outcome of Winter Soldier that leads to this.
I don't feel like there's enough happened in Winter Soldier. I think it's something that he's going to do.
Well, if you think about that in combination with what happened in Age of Ultron, thing, like all that kind of stuff, like there's like mass destruction in Age of Ultron. So...
But, okay, but there would have to be something else happening. There would have to be something, because the way they made it seem in the trailer, so we're going based off the trailer right now.
Yeah.
So, what happened in the trailer to me was, like, based, you know, it's like, Captain America and, you know, Iron Man, obviously, at different ends of the spectrum here. Mm-hmm. And what it seems like, they made it seem it's like something that Bucky did. I don't feel like enough happened in Winter Soldier for that to be the reason, based off of, like, they know that he's, like, been, like, brainwashed and all that mm-hmm. stuff, you know what I mean? So, to me, I feel like, you know, Tony wouldn't be that much of an asshole to be, like, you know, it's definitely something that he's gonna have to do, I feel like. I mean, whether that be, like, he's trying to save something, like, he's trying to become a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But he just goes about it the wrong way because, you know, he's kind of always kind of navigated in a different way than Captain America, even though he's always kind of been with Captain.
Right.
Or he was Cap for a long time, too, you know. But that's not till like, way later in his story. I don't know. I just feel like there has to be more to the story than based off that. I mean, you do have what you have in Age of Ultron and, you know, the Hulkbuster and Hulk fight scene, which I do agree with you now is something that probably does get Black Panther involved because that happened in his city and all that stuff.
Right. Well, so, well, I think what gets maybe Black Panther involved more is, like, the stuff with Claw from Age of Ultron. Because Claw just had stolen a bunch of vibranium from the Ultron guy. I actually just rewatched this movie. And, like, even Tony Stark mentioned after the stuff with Hulkbuster, he's like, well, there's, like, a Stark found, Stark Recovery Foundation that goes in and cleans up after their messes and helps the people and does all this stuff. Which I get, which is great and everything, but that could be, like, something that really separates him and Captain America, too, because we know they're obviously on two different ends of the spectrum on ideology in this, and that's what it's really based on. And I get what you're saying, because in the trailer, they make it seem like all this stuff is as a result of Bucky. Like, Captain America's fighting against Iron Man because Bucky's his friend. He even says that.
Yeah, and here's my thing is, you know what Bucky was doing? Everything that Bucky did, you know, was far less damaging compared to the Hulkbuster fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that was so much more dramatic, or not really dramatic. I'm not, I don't know, like,
well, what the word the I'm stuff, really. The stuff that Bucky did
caused more damage, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, to the city itself. And that's really one of the main factors in the Hero Registration Act is, you know, sure, they're saving us from these superhero beings that, you know, regular military or law enforcement can't deal with. But look at all the destruction that they're leaving behind, and they don't have to answer to anybody. And then that's when, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of steps in and it's like, well, this is, like, you guys can't go unregulated anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, in, like, the stuff with Bucky, like, was really more like acts of terrorism, where, like, a couple people would die here and there, and then at the end, it was like he took out pretty much some helicarriers, which, let's be honest, aren't really property of the United States. So it's like they didn't really do that much damage to a nation. They just did the damage to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And the difference is, like, they straight leveled almost an entire city in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's crazy, like, when you think about it. Like, buildings and people and vehicles and, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that's the kind of stuff is like, well, we need to know what's going on here, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think that might have been the start of it, but I have to believe that there's another event.
It has to be something with Bucky, like, to trigger it.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether
or not he's going dark or whether he's trying to be a hero and makes a mistake. And that kind of makes sense because I forgot the name of the team in Civil War that triggered the Stanford incident because, like, they were going kind of, like, half-cocked into the situation and made a mistake and there was a big-ass explosion.
Yeah, it had Speedball on it. It's Speedball who caused it, essentially. Yeah. So,
but I feel like it's going to be
like the New Warriors or something.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be that same exact situation, though, because they were untrained heroes, really. What it was, and they were just kind of put together, and they went in half cocked or whatever, thinking that they were the shit, basically. And I think that's going to be the same thing with Bucky. I mean, whether or not it's him by himself or he might have a team behind him or whatever, but I think it has to be the same thing.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if they started it through Netflix or something. Like, Luke Cage comes out, we know, probably before Civil War. What if something happens in New York that causes it in Netflix?
I mean, yeah, that would definitely make sense, and that's a pretty cool idea, too, and I'm sure a lot of people would want that to happen, but, like, I don't know how much, it would have to be, like, at the tail end. Well, when does Luke Cage come out?
What if someone frames Bucky? I think that probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like, if Bucky gets framed for an assassination or something, because, I mean,
that's hard. I don't know. definitely a question for our listeners. Let us know what you guys think. Like, what do you guys think kind of triggers this Registration Act in Civil War? Is it Bucky? Is it just the accumulated damage over, like, all the Avengers, all the hero movies that we've seen? Because there's always been this sense of destruction after the big fights or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And And eventually they have to account for something, you know?
Yeah, and let us know if you like the direction that you think they're going so far. Because a lot of people don't like these changes, even though they're seemingly necessary, you know?
So. And I really just think it's like the one kind of fan. And I'm not knocking anybody because, you know, hey, people like things that their own way. But it's like sometimes it's like, okay, not everything is going to be, you know, every T crossed, I dotted, you know, comic book direction kind of deal. And you have to accept some change. And it's just without the vast setup it would take to pull off the true Civil War story, you know, true to the comic book. Like I said, when we were talking about this last year on our videos, and I was like, they can't do a Civil War yet. The one, there's not enough characters introduced, storylines haven't happened. And, you know, in a way, I still feel that way.
Right.
But I will say the way they've kind of made it come together has been very exciting, and I see what they're doing. And I just hope they can pull it off.
Right. And we also have to remember that they started this movie without the ability to have Spider-Man in it.
Yeah.
So they had to kind of keep the same structure and then kind of reframe it a little bit to include Spider-Man.
Yep. Yep.
But let's also remember, guys, that this is not about Spider-Man. This movie is Captain America. It's not. This is not even an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
It truly is really. And people say it's just a Captain America movie. It's really a Captain America Iron Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it comes down to, because it's always been Civil War is two different sides. Either you sided with Captain America or you sided with Tony Stark. I mean, don't get me wrong, Spider-Man does play a very, very important integrated role in all of it, because he switches sides a couple times. And, you know, it just really comes down to how much the writers are going to make that that character be the impact kind of feel.
And it's the same thing, like Punisher was a huge player in Civil War.
He was, because without him, Peter Parker would have died.
Right.
For sure. So. You know, you have the Thunderbolts hot on his tail, and what are you gonna do?
When you think of Thunderbolts, you have Green Goblin, you have Venom, like...
Yeah, he was done. He was done for. He was about to die, and
right.
Fucking Punisher saved his ass. You know?
So hopefully, maybe we'll see Punisher. That could be being kept under wraps. Anyway, guys, we're going to move on now to our shows. We have two episodes of Gotham and two episodes of Supergirl this week, and then Flash, Arrow, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we're going to go 2-2-1-1-1 and go on like that.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, you guys obviously already knew, but we didn't get we didn't have our podcast last week, and obviously you guys should already know by now. There wasn't any Flash, Arrow or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, so that's why it's the doubled up episodes of Gotham and Supergirl, because they did air this last week, and we have last week's episodes, just to clear that all up.
And the Supergirl thing is interesting, because these episodes were actually reversed in the way they aired, but they should have been the other way around.
Okay, sure. I mean, it's really kind of...
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so, Gotham... Season 2, Episode 9, A Bitter Pill to Swallow. Gordon runs into a hitman known as Eduardo Flamingo. Penguin and Enigma have another encounter.
Very nice.
Yes. So, what were your likes and dislikes for this episode?
This was a hard episode to gauge. I felt this was the weakest episode of the entire season.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And that was kind of like surprising. Like it's hard because like my likes, there's more likes than dislikes, but I felt like the episode was just so not compelling at all. Like it was boring.
Well, I didn't I didn't dislike the idea that they were, you know, there was this group of assassins that were all going after Jim and everything like that. Like it's a fine idea. But the thing that surprised me, because this is like something to me that was very inconsistent, is that Jim Gordon always gets his ass kicked. And in this episode, he completely kicked everybody's ass.
Yeah, I think that had to do with something with, you know, the whole ongoing theme of like, you know, Jim has this dark side to him. And that's something I did write down. Okay, so I'll just go through my likes. Okay. So, I mean, I did like the Enigma and Penguin part of the episode where... Enigma is kind of nursing Penguin back to health. I thought that was kind of had like an underlining like comic relief in a way, to me. So that was great. I did like how there was an Assassin's Club sort of deal. I mean, I don't really know if that was a real thing.
I think it's to be expected. It's Gotham.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it was like a real thing from the comic books or if it was just a made-up thing for the TV show, but it was awesome. I did like it. Don't get me wrong. I like the creepy hitman, Flamingo or whatever his name was.
Yeah, he's from the comic books.
He was pretty cool. I liked the whole unleashing of like how Jim has this internal struggle. I did like that. I mean, that's really all I had for likes. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, like the like up until like Flamingo like was actually kind of like, you know, about to die in the hands of Jim Gordon, like the episode was boring and dry to me. Like it just wasn't compelling to me like all the other episodes have been this season.
Right.
So, well, I mean, it's to be expected. I mean, you know, these TV shows are going to have off episodes. So, right. I felt like this was it for this.
Yeah, I felt like the choreography, like the fight choreography was really good. But I feel like, yeah, they didn't really have, like, anything punchy. It wasn't, you know, anything to keep you interested throughout. This was also the episode, like, even stuff that wasn't mentioned in the, you know, synopsis, like, I found, like, the stuff with Bruce Wayne and Alfred, like, kind of interesting, at least. Like, Alfred was, like, wouldn't let Bruce leave and was keeping tabs on him and stuff.
Oh, like, I did forget that. For some reason, I just, like, skipped right over it, but continue.
Yeah, like, I like that stuff. Like, I like how Alfred is so much smarter than Bruce, like, and like, he doesn't. He doesn't, like, play his hand out and, like, this is everything I can do, Bruce. He's just like, oh, you mean this key? It's just like, I don't know. I thought that was good, like, but, yeah, go ahead.
I put in my notes, I like Alfred basically putting his foot down for Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, like I said, I remember I was saying, well, is you know, Alfred going to step in? I think he'll control him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, remembers, like, showing him, like, you know, hey, look, I'm the one taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
We had a deal. You do what I say when I say it kind of deal. But other than that, I mean, I don't have any more likes or dislikes. So, I mean,
The Penguin Enigma stuff was okay. Like, I didn't find it too compelling. I wasn't even really that interested in it for the most part. But yeah. It wasn't bad either. You know, it's just, like, most of this episode was kind of, like, meh. And then, like, when it finally came down to it, like, Gordon almost killing Eduardo Flamingo was, like, probably the most interesting thing that happened. And then him choosing not to, and the consequences, Flamingo killed Officer Parks.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if she was an officer or not, but her last name was Parks. And, like, that's the only real thing that happened in this episode, honestly.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, just go to gradings for this, that week's episode.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just give it, like, a 7, like, pretty average.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6.5. I thought it fell short of where the other episodes have been up till this point, mm-hmm. and definitely expect them to pick it up, you know?
Right.
That's kind of what I wrote down. I mean, definitely, like, I kind of know where they go, since, I mean, we already seen the next episode.
Yeah, so the next episode, I think, a little different, you know, attitude towards this episode, at least for me.
Oh, yeah,
So this was episode 10 of season 2, The Son of Gotham.
Yeah, so Gordon confronts a suspect who is connected to Galavan, but falls short of obtaining any information. Meanwhile, Bruce gets one step closer to discovering the name of his parents' killer.
Yeah, so Bruce Wayne in this episode was fantastic.
Yes, awesome. Good job, Brucey Bruce.
Mm-hmm. You finally, like, I guess Selina is really kind of just teaching him how to function in the outside world, you know?
Yeah.
How to understand the kind of people that he's dealing with, which is good. I thought Selina was also great in this episode, in general.
There's so much in this episode. I loved everything.
Yeah, this episode was very good. All the way down to Gordon. I mean, we all knew that Galavan was going to get off.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, you know, and I figured out pretty much that, you know, in my head I was like, oh, well, obviously the witness is going to lie.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't really think, oh, he'll blame Penguin. But, I mean, that's the only logical thing that could happen, right?
Yeah.
So, like, all that stuff was very good. Gordon punching him, you know, and then just, like, we got to see Galvan totally kick Gordon's ass, too.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was actually a surprise. You knew, you always get this feeling that Galvan's, like, this, like, powerful character, but you'd never see him fight or anything, so mm-hmm. it was really nice to actually see that. He's this badass fucking, like, ninja priest, apparently.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, the little priesthood, I don't know, man. I really, like them, and I'm kind of compelled to their story and stuff. I've always kind of liked that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of just wonder if it's, like, sort of just, like, the secret society, like, you know, the Court of Owls type deal, or, you know, what they're kind of trying to achieve with them, or they're kind of doing their own made-up society, or what.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like the Court of Owls, but in a way completely different too.
Yeah.
Of course these are priests. The Court of Owls are all very rich people.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. Like, subtle differences in the Court of Owls exist within Gotham and always have. Whereas these guys came to Gotham kinda like they were expelled and then came back thing. But yeah, I think that's the idea behind it is like but I mean they're doing ritual cleansing pretty much, you know, and their last victim is obviously Bruce Wayne, the son of Gotham. Galvan shows up at the end to kill him. So, I'm pretty sure, you know, Alfred had a showdown with Tigress as well. Like, this episode had a whole bunch of stuff in it.
Dude, I literally can't think of anything in this episode that bothered me at all.
Yeah, like, we got to see, like, the dark side and light sides of, like, Silver, like, the way she plays people. Yeah. And then, like, the Bruce Wayne hiring those guys, that was crazy.
Yeah, like, I kind of seen it, like, once they were in there and, like, you know, he took him to the other room, I was like, oh, he's playing her.
Right.
You know, I did catch on pretty quickly, and it wasn't, like, that big of a surprise.
Yeah, like, at first, when, like, they first got Bruce, I was like, oh, Alfred hired him.
Yeah.
But then, like, later, like, you can
kind of tell, I thought, like, maybe even, like, Silver was behind it.
I thought Silver was behind it the very first second, like, when they pulled up.
Yeah.
Before that, when, like, he was talking to her and, like, they were, like, outside. And then, like, after, like, a little bit, like, I thought it was Alfred. And then it became pretty clear it was Bruce, you know?
Yep. Yep. So. I mean.
Well, it was actually technically Selina.
Yeah, but, technically.
But, yeah. Like,
it was well, technically it was Selina's hookup, but Bruce actually hired the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we even had Penguin saving Gordon's life at the end. And then punching him out.
Dude, how funny was that stuff between, like,
on the phone with
Yeah, talking about, like, the fucking spicy mustard. Yeah. He's like, you better be still a spicy mustard. I was like, dude, that's totally me right there, dude. I love spicy mustard.
This episode was actually very, very good.
Yeah, definitely so. The step in the right direction, back to getting on track. I mean, this season has been awesome, just except for the week before.
I mean, yeah, like...
It was average episodes,
but, like, still, like, much better than last season's bad episodes.
Yeah,
and even better
than
last season's average in good episodes.
Yeah, for sure.
Everything is clicking kind of for Gotham right now. And then next week, this week, tomorrow, is a season, fall season finale of Gotham before it comes back. So, pretty exciting.
I will definitely be a little sad to not be talking about Gotham because where Arrow has pretty much let us down, Gotham has picked me right back up.
Yeah, I mean, Arrow is a different conversation too, so
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think we should just move on to grading for this. So what would you give it?
9.0 straight up.
I think
it was a great episode.
Yeah, I think I'd give this episode like a 9.4.
I wanted to give it a little higher. I don't know, man. Like, I think I just kind of clicked something down. I mean, I could totally see that grade, and it probably deserves a higher grade.
It's actually just very good.
Yeah, so. It was a great, great, great episode.
Yep. So, moving on to Supergirl, we're going to talk about episode 4, Livewire, and then episode 5, How Does She Do It? But like I was saying before, it's important to note that they pulled episode 4 and made it episode 5 because of the bombings in Paris. So we saw it this week instead of last week. So we're going to talk about the Thanksgiving episode first. So, Supergirl, season 1, episode 4, Livewire. Kara's foster mom visits for Thanksgiving while an accident transforms a volatile Catco employee into Livewire.
Jesus. God damn it, Supergirl. Are you guys ever going to get better? Like, fuck.
You didn't like this episode?
No, I hated this episode.
You hated it for a specific reason, though, right? Didn't you dislike it because they stole something from Smallville?
You're right. That's one of the things I really hated about this. There was a couple things I liked. So, as always, I like to go with my likes first. So, it wasn't a... Shut up. So, there was an attempted improvement in, like, the whole, the flight scenes.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't very good, but at least it was an attempt at improving. I liked, some of, Livewire's, attributes, like, the whole electrical whips were cool. Mm-hmm. The way she could travel was pretty awesome. Because those are all very true to the character from the comic books. I felt that Cat Grant finally had a very, very good moment and probably, like, her best scene of the entire season so far with talking with Carrie about, like, personal stuff. And, like, that was actually good writing, good acting right there, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about your likes?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the Livewire stuff. I thought that the special effects were very good. I'm actually not a fan of the actress too much. She was in True Blood. She played that crazy wolf. but other than that, like, I think that the episode was overall pretty good. I like Cat Grant in it. I liked Supergirl. I like the effects much better. There's definitely improvement. There's still definitely room for improvement. I mean, the Jimmy Olsen stuff with Supergirl, or with at least, Kara, it's kind of like, nah, to me.
Yeah.
Like, when getting blown off continuously... is like, I feel like it's just a horse that's been beat too many times, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, it's that kind of stuff. So, I don't know.
So, okay, let's get into my dislikes.
All right.
How inconsistent was it? Like, in the beginning, she was not affected by water. But then that's magically how Supergirl beat her. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just, like, not enough water or something. I don't know.
She was, like, straight walking through puddles.
Yeah, dude. Like, hella bad acting. Like, absurdly bad. Except for the these next two ones, the bad acting and cheesy, straight garbage writing. Except for the Cat Grant scene, because that was awesome. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the episode, fucking god-awful writing. Like, bad acting, just so annoying. I mean... our Supergirl actor, she has her moments or whatever, but I mean, for the like, some of her mannerisms just fucking piss me off.
Yeah,
just
some of them punch her in the face. I feel like in the next episode, though, like, it was better still.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Even though it's
supposed
to be
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
And here is the biggest bullshit of them all. What a weak ass development, for ability, like, for, like, the way that Livewire was conceived. Straight stole that shit from Smallville, man. That was some bullshit. And you've seen the episode, because remember, you're like, oh, is that supposed to be Superboy? Remember that episode where, like, it was the Smallville's, like, I think, like some science teacher, like, his son was, like, they were collecting rocks in the forest or something like that, and, like, his son was going to jump off, like, the dam or whatever. But Clark went to go look for him, and then, like, he tried to grab him off of it, and like, the kid,
his powers
to him. And, like, the kid was holding kryptonite, and, like, it was, like, a magical moment, fucking a fate striking fucking Clark in the chest with the fucking lightning bolt, and then, like, because he was holding the kryptonite and he was touching Clark, that's how he got his powers. But it's, like, the same exact thing happened in this one. Fucking, like, you know, Kara's, like,
she's, like, trying to get her out of the helicopter, and then gets struck by lightning.
I'm just like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you guys can't even come up with good ideas on your own? You guys are trash. Fucking garbage.
What if she was, like, in a tanning bed? They got struck by lightning and became Livewire.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, straight stole shit from Smallville, and I don't like it.
So, what's your grade?
5.0.
Okay. I think I'd give this episode... like a 7. I think this episode was better than you thought, but...
no.
We'll move on. We'll just disagree on that one. So, the next episode is episode 5. How does she do it?
Yes. Kara must protect National City from a series of bombings and babysit Kat's son. While Jaime is visited by Lucy Lane.
He's visited by Lucy Lane, and they fall in love again. And then he acts like he doesn't want to go out with her on Thanksgiving. So, what'd you think of this episode? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
This episode was the best episode they've had.
Yeah, this episode was really good.
I will say I gave it a very high grade.
Kara is her. Well, the actress Melissa Benoist is much better. Like, I thought she was a very, very good in this episode. Like, very strong.
One complaint. One complaint.
Okay.
And this is it. They need to change their intro. Because for once, except for, I think, like, the kid had mentioned Superman or something like that. Mm-hmm. Nobody else mentioned Superman in this entire episode.
Right.
I was like, finally.
Well, they talked about him quite a bit.
No, they didn't.
There was a kid who mentioned it with Reactron, and then Lucy Lane kept referring to Jimmy's obsession with
him. But in respects to Kara.
Right.
There was no, I'm trying to get out of my cousin's shadow. Oh my god, I'm so weak. I don't need his help. Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares anymore.
Right.
Like, I've been, after 13 long years in the Phantom Zone, I finally arrived on Earth just to find out the one reason I was even sent here was for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, shut up about it already. Change your intro, and you guys will be all good now.
I think that the producers have fallen in this trap. They did it with Arrow, with My Name is Oliver Queen. 5 years ago, I was trapped. I think they finally stopped that. Or maybe they still do it. I don't know. The Flash does it. You know, My Name is Barry Allen. I'm the fastest man alive. Blah, blah, blah. Accident. This, that. They do it in every one of these shows.
Yeah.
Kind of like talking about their origin. But it's like with Supergirl, I think their origin in this show is flawed to begin with.
Yeah.
I think they could have come up with something more creative, even if it's different than what the comic books had. Like, they could have come up with something because she should be her own person. Like, it's fine if you want to start with Superman, but after that, just go, you know, I had to hide my powers and this and that. Like, do something like that. Like, she complains about it every week, about how she's finally just being who she's meant to be.
Yeah, but for once, I mean, she just wasn't that way. It really feels like she just stepped into her own finally.
Yeah, she had some very creative ways of stopping tragedies. She, you know, she was just very good, very, you know, she's a very human character. And I think that she did great. I liked Maxwell Lord in this episode as well.
Yeah.
We really get to see his ulterior motives come through.
Yep.
Cat Grant was...
So is he supposed to be like Superman's Lex Luthor, kind of?
Kind of. Maxwell Lord, I think, is distinctly kind of different, but pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So, but... I mean, I think that they portrayed him well, and I think that he's kind of doing his own thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really liked Kat's son's obsession with Supergirl. I thought that was appropriate.
Yep.
It worked well, and it was perfect motivation for him to go, you know, to the train and all this stuff. So, but I don't know. Other than that, like, I still feel like they're hitting the drum too much on the Kara Jimmy win thing. But I think that's to be expected, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's something that, I don't know, I think they should just kind of try to resolve. Like, and I don't like shows talking about the friend zone. Like, it's a thing. Like, I don't think that's something you should promote through a TV show, you know?
Yeah.
But what did you think? A sigh, he says.
Yeah. I don't know. It's difficult because I was like, really? She gets put in the friend zone? Like, I can understand if they got, like, an uglier actress. Like, not to be an asshole, but she's far too pretty to ever be in anybody's friend zone. Like, let's be honest here.
I think we should be honest here in the way that, I don't know, between... maybe it's just us, but I think in general, guys don't really have a friend zone. Guys just keep every option on the table because we're guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, and like, I mean, I have like a couple friends that are girls that are like just friends, but like, the vast majority of them are, like, I don't, like, I would, I'd always try to go for it kind of deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, just depending, you know? Like, if the opportunity arose, it's like, well. But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. But other than that, I think the episode was very good.
Yeah, so. It was great. I didn't have any dislikes, honestly. My likes were no real mention of Soup's, like, pertaining to Kara. It had a good, compelling story this episode. Some good-looking CGIs in this episode.
The effects
and
were
some
really good.
Great acting, finally. Yeah. And great writing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have much else to say about the episode. It was great. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it really was. Do you have anything?
No, I think that's about it. Now, what grade would you give this?
9.0.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'd probably say like an 8.8. I'm still waiting to see some more out of it. Also, if you guys notice, we've been calling her Kara, or Kara, not Kara, because it's Kara. But don't let us confuse you. If you guys don't like how we say it, just ignore it.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. So
actually, I'm not really sorry.
So moving on to The Flash. Season 2, Episode 7, Guerrilla Warfare. Barry races to rescue Caitlin when Grodd kidnaps her. Cisco plans a date with the new barista at Jitters, and Patty thinks Barry is hiding something. Because he is. Kissy face? So, do you want to talk about your likes? Do you want me to talk about my likes? Fishy face. Kissy fishy face.
I don't know, man. Jeez, like, this episode was good.
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, it was like, last week's episode was so good.
Yeah.
Like, it was just hard. Like, I don't know. I can't explain the feeling. It's not exactly let down. I wouldn't explain it as that. Because it was a good episode.
Right.
But it wasn't. Well, last week, like the week before that was, you know what I mean?
Right.
that whole episode was fucking awesome.
All we can really do is talk about what we liked about this episode.
The funny thing is, I didn't really dislike anything of this episode.
Right.
It's just, I guess what I could say is it wasn't as explosive as the last one.
Right, it wasn't as explosive. It wasn't as compelling. It wasn't as interesting, even. But, like, the stuff with Harrison Wells, like his change of heart and everything, was all very good.
Yeah,
I really liked that. I really liked the very end scene. Grodd is in
Gorilla City.
Yeah. Which to me is like an image straight out of the comic books. Which I want to talk about something that has to do with Grodd and Zoom later. But I also really, really liked Barry kind of getting back up to form. His dad came back.
Yep.
That was great. You know, the stuff with Cisco and Hawk Girl, I guess we should call her.
Yeah.
Was very good.
Yep.
That's pretty much a lot of what happened. Like, even the stuff with, like, Gorilla Grodd, the effects were awesome, of course. And Caitlin did great in her role.
So. Caitlin was awesome in this episode. Because, I mean, I kind of noticed, like, I mean, she's been a little annoying here and there, but I mean, nothing too bad, but this episode, she was great, for sure. I mean, pretty much all my likes are pretty much the same exact one as yours. Like, Barry's dad was awesome. Barry gaining his swagger back was awesome. Grodd was perfect, as he was last time. I do actually think that the effects on him were better this time than last time.
Yeah, I thought they were very detailed.
I love the effects that they put into, like, creating the image for us of what Cisco's seeing for his vibes and just Hawk Girl. Okay. Let me just break this down. Like, how majestic she fucking looks, dude, is just looks amazing. I love whoever's doing their CGI work is truly fucking talented. Like, they are very good for having a television budget. You know what I mean?
CGI in The Flash is better than any other show right now. On TV. I mean,
for sure. I mean, bar none. Like, fucking, like, the CG in this TV show is better than, like, some higher-end budgeted movies that I've seen. You know what I mean?
Right. And even the practical effects are very good, you know?
Yeah, it's just, like, wow.
Just, like, think about a couple weeks ago with King Shark, how good King Shark looked.
for sure. I mean, like,
crazy good.
And Grodd looked awesome, and they're able to accomplish something in this television show. It's like bringing these like larger than life CG. Like, I mean, the only way you could bring them to life from the comic books to television is through CGI, and it's right. like, I mean, when we started The Flash, did you think we would get this perfect of a Grodd or this perfect of a King Shark? I mean,
I thought we'd get some decent looking effects, but nothing this good. Like,
I mean, let's be honest. Like, I mean, our first initial thought of The Flash, we said their effects do need to improve. It was a great episode or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm talking about season one, episode one.
Yeah, even before that, when we talked about what to expect from this show, you know, we pretty much said the success and failure of the show will be based on their effects and their acting.
Yeah.
And they've nailed both of those, so.
Yeah. And they've even brought the element of just such a fantastic storyline.
Yeah, it's been great.
And just connecting to each and every one of their characters, just fucking, bar none. I mean, and we say this all the time, it truly is, in my opinion, like, I mean, super biased or whatever. I mean, whatever you want to say, but it's to me, it's the best show on television.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not everybody feels that way or whatever, and I'm fine with that.
Maybe we should phrase it more as it's our favorite show on television. But to us, because it's our favorite, it is the best. Like, and I don't even think people who watch this show would probably argue the same thing.
Yeah, it's funny because everybody we get to watch it, they're like, dude, this show is so epic. Blah, blah, blah. It's the people that don't even give it a chance that are like, you know.
It can't be better than Walking Dead. Can't be better than
Jamal.
Game of Thrones. Can't be better than anything. It's like,
and it's funny because we're really big Game of Thrones fans, and
yeah,
I'm sorry, but this show shits on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, as far as, like, I mean, the effects even are like, I mean, it's not going to be... They don't have as big of a budget as HBO, let's be real, but the effects are on par with that, you know?
Exactly, and I'm sorry, but I would choose The Flash over any current show.
Yeah, I mean, this guy who does detailing work at my work, and he came and he told me he watched the whole first season on Netflix. He's like, yeah, I watched it all in a day. I was like, yeah, it's really good. He's like, it's amazing. I'm going to go watch it on CW right now. I was like, this is awesome. Like, I mean, even people that you'd never expect to like comic book things like this love it. So it's very exciting to me. But yeah, do you have anything else? I just have one discussion.
Oh, what was that?
My discussion point?
Yeah.
Who do you think Zoom is?
Who do I think Zoom is? I don't know.
So,
I've heard different theories. Like, I mean, I don't really agree with most of them, but I mean, people think it might be Barry from Earth 2 or whatever. It's really hard to say, honestly.
I really think, like, it could be Hunter Zolomon. Because if you take what we know of Hunter Zolomon, right, he was...
Well, I mean, I thought that was just kind of a given because his name is Zoom.
Well, yeah. But even Harrison Wells was Zoom. There's been like 3 or 4 Zooms. There's Zoom, Professor Zoom. There's too many Zooms to count.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, well, the only problem with it is that we know that Wally West and Hunter Zolomon were friends before he became Hunter Zolomon, or before he became Zoom. We know that Grodd essentially made him paralyzed, which made him essentially become Zoom. And, you know, it's like, if you know, because this episode had Grodd in it, that's why I mentioned it, is like, when I think about Grodd, I think about Zoom becoming Zoom. And, you know, because Wally wouldn't save Hunter Zolomon, and it's like, now he hates Wally.
Yeah.
His whole mission becomes to make Wally face a tragedy. Like, that's the thing, is Barry Allen faced tragedy. His mom died. So he, you know, that's the kind of hero he was. Wally West never had any of that, and that was Zoom's entire thing against him.
But here's the thing, is that's the, like, the content from the comic books, and right. They're all from Earth 1.
Right.
You know, basically it's to be believed that Zoom is from Earth 2, mm-hmm. and... I mean, even Harrison Wells says, like, I created Zoom. We don't know to what extent what that really means.
Right.
And right now, I feel like it's honestly just too early to try and kind of pick.
Maybe Zoom is Eobard Thawne from Earth 2.
It could be.
Or Eddie Thawne from Earth 2. That'd be kind of interesting, I guess. But
I mean, I don't really know who it could really be. Honestly, I can't even guess.
Here's maybe a more important question. Does it matter who he is?
No, I really don't feel like it does. I feel like maybe if it's a character we know, it'll be a little bit more surprising or something. But I don't know if it matters. I think they could just bring up a new actor or whatever to be the unmasking of that character, and we'd be fine with it.
What if Jay Garrick is Zoom? I've never seen them together.
Well, I mean, you've seen them in the flashback together.
Yeah, but that was his story he was telling.
I don't know.
Yeah, kind of far-fetched.
Yeah. I just don't see it.
All right, let's move on to grading this episode.
Oh, I think I gave it a 9.2.
I think I'd give it just like a 9.
Yeah.
It's a very good episode. I mean, of course, it's The Flash.
I mean, what do you expect?
I'm never going to stop being excited about the show. Like, I'm actually a little bit unexcited that we actually have to cross over right now, because Arrow really hasn't been that great, and I'd rather just watch The Flash. You know?
Maybe the crossover will help them a little bit.
Maybe. So, let's talk about Arrow then.
Yes.
So, this is Arrow Season 4, Episode 7, Brotherhood.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. So, yes, like you said, Season 4, Episode 7, Brotherhood. A shocking revelation complicates the battle between Team Arrow and Damian Dark. Thea loses control in front of Alex.
Yeah, we don't care about that.
That's a shit summary. Holy crap.
So I had one huge problem with this episode.
Was it Diggle?
No.
Oh.
Well, it kind of is, but the thing is, they've beaten up plenty of ghosts. They've knocked out plenty of ghosts. They've never tried to ID them. They've never cared about IDing them until now. And I think they only cared now because it was relevant to the story, because we needed to know that Diggle's brother was still alive as a ghost.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I don't really care that much.
I just think it's
because,
like,
they have tried to ID people in the past. It's just they've never succeeded.
I don't know if you go back and watch, like, they've been plenty of times they just defeat him and they're laying around. They're like, never like, oh, I better see who this is.
I mean, I think that was just kind of a given that they've looked or whatever, but there was no, like, how do you think that they knew?
I mean, I can't make judgments based on, you know, what's in my head. I, you know, it's like the text is supposed to provide that for you.
But, I mean, there has been scenes where they have tried to ID him. It's just, you know, like, their identities have been erased, and that's already a known fact. So, just to say, because they don't do it every time, doesn't mean that they're not doing it. I mean, they've done it plenty of times to where you kind of assume at this point that they do it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just misremembering, but I've never seen him try to ID him.
Yeah, they have. They definitely have before.
I don't know.
Because remember, they used to bite down on the cyanide pills.
Yeah, but that was they just wanted to question them. They weren't trying to see who they were. They just wanted information on Dark.
So you never think the entire time they've never even tried to look at one of them.
Well, I mean,
that's absurd to think that.
But
that's
they could
true.
Look at their face and, like, have Felicity look up who they are and who they were and all this stuff, and they've never done that. You know, they've only wanted to question them.
I don't know. I think it's absurd to jump to that conclusion. I don't know. I guess that's just my opinion. You can have whatever opinion you want, really.
Right,
but
well, I think it's absurd for them to all of a sudden just be like, well, we need to know who these people are, like, after this long.
I mean, it wasn't even, like, that dramatic. It was just, he's like, oh, hold up, I'm gonna check for an ID.
Well, they've been doing it the whole episode. Like, that was the whole thing, like, with getting Ray Palmer involved, like, trying to ID one of the ghosts through his tooth and stuff, and it's like, they've never tried that before.
Well, I mean, just because they, like I said, just because they've never really showed it doesn't mean that they've never tried it.
Right, but like, I can't just infer that. You know, they have to provide you with some kind of...
No, that's not even true. There's so many, like, different things.
I don't know, like...
It's so easy to argue that exact point. It's like, well, they've never shown it before. Like, really, you really don't think. Like, that's their whole thing. They're, like, crime fighters. Like, you don't think that they've never looked into these people?
Crime fighters,
that's why they're called ghosts, is because even though that they... Well, I mean, usually it's because they slip in and out undetected or whatever. But it's like when they are captured, it's like nobody knows who these people are. They kill themselves, whatever.
Yeah,
it's like they can't even be ID'd, so it's like...
They can't be ID'd by their teeth and their fingerprints.
How did they know before this, though? Before this episode, how did they know that they couldn't be ID'd? So they obviously have tried to do it before.
I guess you can infer that, but if you're watching something, you can't just make random inferences without any proof that they give you.
And they haven't. You definitely can.
They
didn't give you proof that Reverse Flash was Air Barthon. That's just a conclusion you came up with yourself.
Yeah, based on what you know about the character Reverse Flash, and
so based off what I know of Team Arrow, I would assume that they have tried to ID at least one of these ghosts that they've captured before.
Okay, I guess you could say that. I disagree completely. Like, it just bothered me. Maybe I'm wrong, and it bothered me for no reason, and it's irrational. But I'm okay. You can just say I'm irrational
it's the same thing though. It's you said on Flash, you're like in the first episode, you came up with a theory that Eddie was Barry's long lost brother. It's like, how do you get that inference? Like,
because he saved his life.
So?
And because
the Flash saved a lot of people's lives.
No, Eddie saved Barry's life.
Okay. Wouldn't be the first time he was saved.
Right, but his brother from the future always like was looking out for him and trying to save him when he could.
Did he do it in a superhuman way?
His brother's not a superhuman.
Well, I guess you're wrong. His brother's
last name is Thawne, so it's completely irrelevant.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I was wrong, okay? I'm fine admitting I was wrong. That's kind of far-fetched, but that's something at least that's interesting from the comic books. This is just like, oh, we're supposed to know that they're trying to identify ghosts, even though they've had plenty knocked out around them, and they've never once said, I'm going in for an ID, and now they finally show it on camera, and it's relevant for once.
Just because they don't show it doesn't mean that they're not doing it.
Well, because they don't show it means it's not relevant.
How is it possible, though, that it's okay for you to make an assumption about something?
I'm not saying it's not okay that you can't. I even admitted maybe I'm wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong.
But no, I'm saying like, but it's like I'm actually providing you exact. Now, I'm not trying to make you out to be, look like a bad guy or anything. You know what I mean? It's like, but I'm just like trying to point out just like everybody does that. You know what I mean? Just because it's not there, it's like the unspoken truth of it. You know what I mean?
That's fair, but I mean, I'm talking more from like how you are actually supposed to analyze like books and things like that. Is you can't just. You know, you can't analyze what's happening based on what you assume happened that they don't tell you.
Well, what's the point of coming up with fan theories then?
Well, that's fan theories, you know, but, you know, it's like not.
So now you
want. It can't be confirmed. That's the whole thing. It can't be confirmed.
That's so ridiculous, though. But so you're saying, like, in this one instance, because they haven't showed saying, yeah, I'm going in for an ID, like. That means they've never done it before. That's so ridiculous to think
that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can only analyze what they give you. You can't.
I analyze that they always ID all their assailants, not the ghost or whatever, because they can't ID them because they have no identification markers on them.
Right. That's fair. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I think you're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I'm not. You're saying because they haven't done it, it's not okay like for you to assume that they have.
That's not what I'm saying.
So what are you
saying?
I'm
saying because they haven't done it, that it's perfectly, you know, because you're saying, well, just because you haven't seen them do it doesn't mean that they haven't, and it's unfair for me to make the assumption that they have, that they haven't if it's possible that they have. And I'm just saying based on what they've shown me, I can't make that assumption. Just as you're saying, well, just because they haven't doesn't mean I can't make this assumption. So what I'm simply saying is it's perfectly okay for me to come up with this simply because they haven't showed me anything. Just as it's perfectly okay with you to come up with your opinion. I mean, they're both fine, but I'm saying, do you get what I'm saying?
No, not at all.
Okay, so I'm analyzing what they gave me.
Sure.
And coming up with the conclusion that, well, I've never seen them try to do this before, and now all of a sudden they're showing it because it's relevant. That's a perfectly okay assumption. Yes?
Sure.
Just as you're saying, well, just because they haven't shown it doesn't mean they haven't tried it, which is also fine. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm saying, based on what I was provided, That's what I came up with.
But I'm just, like, I'm asking you. So you personally think that they have never tried to ID somebody before?
No, I know they've tried to ID people, but I've never seen them try to ID a ghost. So in my mind, I'm like, why all of a sudden do they care about this? Maybe they did before, but they never showed me that. And I'm just making my judgment so confused based on what they showed me.
So I'm so confused because you literally just said, oh, yeah, of course I think that they've done it.
They've identified assailants, like you were saying, but they haven't tried to identify the ghosts.
They've questioned them. Like, you don't think while they're questioning, they didn't, like, take a look underneath?
I mean, that's fair, but I haven't seen them take off anybody's mask before. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering. I said that already, too.
Okay.
But based on what I remember,
let's
from
just
it,
move on.
But...
what else?
That was my point. That was just my point on the episode.
Okay. Awesome.
Sensing some hostility over there.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I liked some of the episode, but like the stuff with like Diggle and Ollie and stuff really wasn't too interesting.
Yep, Diggle sucked dick in this episode.
And Oliver really wanted to convince him that it's okay for people to make mistakes, and it doesn't matter what it says in Andy's file, but it's like they already assumed he's dead, so why, I don't know. Like, the whole thing kind of, like, to me, I think the episode was just based on a flawed premise, honestly.
How so?
So, even before we know Andy's alive, you know, we're looking into Andy and all this stuff, and there's the stuff in the file, and, you know, Ollie's like, well, you don't know. Maybe he's not like this, and all this stuff, and it's like, almost as if, you know, they're obviously setting up for us to find out that he's not dead and all this stuff, but it's okay. Like, why wouldn't you do it afterward? Like, why does this matter now? And it only
It's the whole thing is Diggle's still trying to find out why Hive did it.
Right, but he's had this file for 2 or 3 episodes.
Okay, but he never shared that information with Oliver before.
And that's my point. It's like, why is he doing it right now?
It's just how it happened.
Okay, that's fair.
It's how they wrote it. I mean, how the fuck am I supposed to answer that?
Well, no, I'm not saying you're supposed to answer it. I'm saying you're asking my opinion on why I think it was a flawed premise.
Like, I don't get how that's like, a flawed premise. Is like,
I don't know. To me, it could have been done better if that would have happened after they found out he was alive, and then he presents
well,
this to Ollie.
Not even because Lance. Okay, so Lance provides Diggle with the information. Diggle has always been very secretive when it became looking into his brother. Right?
Yeah.
He's always not told Oliver right away, and then he finally does tell Oliver. So that matches up. Right.
But he finally tells him usually when it's relevant.
I mean, it's just how they wrote it. I mean,
and I'm saying I don't like how they wrote it.
Okay, I guess that's your opinion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everything we say is pretty much our opinion.
I don't know. I don't get like where you come up with this stuff. Your opinion is formulated from, I guess.
Well, I try to explain it, but you just get angry when I explain it. So, I mean, my opinion isn't going to be your opinion, and we're going to disagree. But
I'm just saying, okay, but it's just, so Diggle has always been looking into his brother's murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he found out that Hive was involved. So then he's been trying to figure out, well, why was Hive involved with hiring his brother's hitman to kill his brother?
Mm-hmm.
Lance then finds that information out, provides that information to Diggle. Diggle holds it in for about a week or two and then just decides, after him and Oliver have turned over the new leaf, that he's going to let him in back into his life a little bit and share this information with him.
Well, they had already turned over that new leaf before he even got the file.
But here's the thing is, like, we don't know how much time has passed in between episodes either. So it's, like, unfair
right,
to say
that's what, you
2 weeks
that's what I'm
exactly.
saying is, like, you can't make... You can't, like, analyze based on things we don't know. So it's like, But based on what we do know, like with the Hive thing, he could have told Oliver about looking into Hive when Oliver was like, "Oh, Hive," and then they're like, "Oh, I never heard of that." But then he finally tells him, but he tells him when it becomes relevant. Like,
he tells him when he feels like he has no other option but to tell him.
Right, but there was a story motive for it at that time.
Okay. What's and wrong like, with that, though?
But, like, for this, it's just, like, there wasn't. And, like, they could have tied it into what they were actually trying to accomplish through the episode.
I think it was just Diggle still trying to just let Oliver back into his life and let him help him with the whole thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so, basically, it's just, it's kind of like the whole saying is like, you talk bad about like a dead relative or something. It's like, oh, don't talk bad about that person. You should remember him for the good times or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's kind of what Oliver was trying to do. He's trying to make Diggle feel better and trying to just like, well, you don't know if the information in this file was accurate. It did come from Damien Dark, you know what
right
I mean?
But I just want to, like, I'm unclear as a viewer about what the motivation was for where Diggle to give Oliver that file.
Oliver's his friend. Why wouldn't he share it?
Because he hasn't. That's the whole thing, is like, if the writers don't give you motivation for the choices characters make, then, you know, it seems irrational or whatever. Like, you can only make opinions based on what you've seen before.
So you have a problem with Diggle sharing information with Oliver now?
No, like, I have a problem with the writing.
I don't get it. Like, what is problematic about how they wrote it?
It's problematic because it's not informed why all of a sudden he's sharing this when it's been a couple episodes he hasn't shared anything.
And I think it's a little bit like, well, I mean, it just happened. It only happened like an episode or two ago. Like, it's not too far-fetched to think, okay, well, I should probably let Oliver know about this file. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's fair. It's just not I don't agree with it. I mean,
I don't know.
I think we're just have different opinions on it.
I'm just trying to understand your opinion, like, more beyond just, like, I don't agree with it, first off.
Well, I mean, like, I don't, because there's no motive for it. I mean, and your argument is that, well, because they're friends, it's a motive. But to me, in the past, that's never been a motive for him to tell Oliver anything.
But eventually, he has always let Oliver in eventually anyways.
Yeah, when it becomes important to let him know. Not just because, oh, well, you're my friend, I better let you know now. It's like, it comes up when...
Well, because there's always been a trust issue with him, too, as well. Oliver hasn't always let him know of the things either.
Right. I feel like the writers wanted to accomplish some kind of, you know, conflict between Oliver and Diggle because they have a difference of opinion on it. And so they did that then.
I don't really feel like there was a conflict between them. I think there was just a difference in opinion, really. I don't think it was necessarily a problem or a conflict. I think Oliver was just trying to be a good friend and
I don't think Oliver was mad at Diggle, but Diggle was definitely mad at Oliver for like pushing the point. And, you know, to me, like, it seemed like they were trying to create some kind of conflict there.
I don't know. Like, I guess you can take it as that, but, I mean, it's a one-sided conflict where one person's mad and the other person's not. Like,
right. That happens really, all the time.
Well, okay, sure. Let's grade it, sure.
Well, did you have anything else?
I don't know. There was stuff somewhere.
Did you find it corny when he said, "I'm here to help my brother, the green one"?
No. I find that fine. Did you find that corny?
I found it corny, which is fine, but...
Interesting. I liked Oliver's decision to fight Dark in the light. Canary... Laurel's fighting skills have dramatically improved. I like that. I liked Ray Palmer fighting... And then I liked the whole Oliver taking the stance on believing in your family and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like that all.
Yeah, I think that's all very good. I really like the mayor stuff. Yeah. Like, when he, you know, when he's giving his speeches and how he kind of didn't go with what he was going to do and go with Dark and all this stuff. But he was, you know, positing the idea of it. But yeah, I like that he, you know, he took Diggle's advice and now they're friends again.
Yeah.
And yeah, Black Canary finally is kicking ass. So yeah, what would you grade the episode?
8.5.
Yeah, I think 8.5 is fair. I'd probably give it like an 8.2.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall the episode wasn't bad. I just had, you know, my problems with it. But I mean, yeah, they might not have been actual problems, I guess. But
maybe.
But yeah, that's all our shows and stuff.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. We had to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
There we go.
That's a show. Who knows?
You thought it was the end of the show's friend.
All right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 8. Many heads, one tail. Dangerous facts about the ATCU are discovered by the team. Ward's plans to take down S.H.I.E.L.D. do not go as expected.
Interesting. Interesting. This is a very good episode.
Was it?
Yeah. I was like, haha. Coulson played that bitch.
Yeah, Coulson played Rosalind Price.
Yes.
Even though he does love her.
Yeah, it was a little confusing. And then, my notes are hilarious. I was like, ATCU Hydra, but not Hydra.
Yeah.
I was like, what's up with that, brah? I was like, okay, sure. I thought that was a little interesting because, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Rosalind's necessarily a good guy, but I don't really necessarily think she's a bad guy either.
She's just naive.
Yeah.
She's, like, obviously working for someone who is Hydra, and, like, she doesn't even look into what they're doing at her facility operation.
Yeah.
She just lets this guy set up their entire science lab division and everything. And
talking about their science division. Hunter fake tech hacker.
Oh, yeah. Hunter was hecka funny.
He was all, like, fucking peck typing and shit, dude. I remember, like, a couple years ago, you were still peck typing. I'm like,
who, me? Yeah. I still peck type.
Nah, just you're not like that bad. Now. You're not that bad. That's not peck typing anymore, man. That shit was hilarious. Really liked Fitz and Simmons' kiss, followed by Fitz and Simmons' confrontation.
Followed by them probably fucking in the back somewhere.
That would be Gr-8.
Gr-8.
I liked the whole mention of Ward being the true second head of Hydra. That was cool. Mm-hmm. I like all that stuff.
Dude, Ward went badass, though.
Yeah.
Sorry, murdered motherfuckers.
He was a bad mamma jamma. Oh, I liked how, like, the mysterious figure from the other world is the true leader of Hydra, like, the original leader of Hydra, apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't really dislike anything in this episode. I mean,
this episode was actually really good. I guess. Yeah. But there wasn't anything, like, kind of huge about it or anything. Huge.
Just, like, a setup episode, really.
Yeah. So, it looks like there are two more episodes before the mid-season finale. And then a 3-month wait.
Jeez. It's a little sad.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
What?
No, I was just apologizing to the fans.
Oh. Hey, fans.
Hey, fans.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
But yeah, overall, this was a really good episode. We did, you know, dive deeper into the ATCU, kind of what their whole deal is, which is good. So, yeah, I really liked it.
What did you think about? So, I had a couple of talking points. What did you think about May's apology to Lincoln?
I think it was sincere, and I think that it needed to happen. Like, I think Lincoln is just very uncomfortable around May because, you know, for obvious reasons. But, yeah, I think it needed to happen. I think that it was definitely warranted.
Yeah. Sorry. Keep yawning, guys. I really apologize. Yeah, I agree. I think it could have been very sincere, but very uncharacteristic of May, for sure.
I
don't think I've ever seen her apologize.
I think it's hard to know what to expect of May now, because she's dealing with both Andrew being Lash, and also kind of like, I think she feels like her whole life is falling apart, and she wanted to leave S.H.I.E.L.D., and now she feels probably like she's stuck.
Yeah, probably.
So
what do you think, Ward and this new vision of Hydra?
I think Ward is just gonna kick ass. Like, I think Ward is gonna be relevant until they don't need him to be relevant. Like, I do think that, you know, either Bobby or Hunter will end up killing him.
You think so? Do you think it will happen this season?
I think it probably will happen this season.
Okay.
But, you know.
And then my last talking point would have to be about the true leader of Hydra, the mystery man, assumed to have been shot before. Now that we know he's the true leader of Hydra, I mean, can he even be dead? I don't think it's possible for them to have killed him then. I think maybe he, what's his name, the astronaut or whatever that's stuck over there?
Right. Well, the thing is that, you know, Hydra exists mainly because of what they say. You cut off one head and two more take its place.
Okay.
Like, Hydra will never end, because they will always have people to fill their ranks. So,
but, like, I think, like, what I'm trying to get at is, because they're kind of explaining it as, like, one of, like, their biggest missions of Hydra has been trying to figure out how to get him back. How to get him off this Earth that he, or off this mystery planet that he's been stranded on for all these years. Is just really, you know, I mean, after all that buildup and this big revelation of, well, this is the true leader of Hydra, I don't really foresee that last bullet actually killing him. Maybe injuring him.
I think he has to be dead. Because we saw the sun come up. Like, the whole time they were there, it never came up, and I think we're supposed to assume that's because...
Maybe he's asleep.
Maybe. Maybe he just took a nap.
Poor little Tycoon tuckered out.
Yeah. But I think that he probably is dead, and they're going to be pretty disappointed when they finally get back through.
I don't know. I have this gut feeling that he's not really dead. Or another theory I came up with is the guy that's actually over there right now, the guy in the NASA suit or whatever, because remember he's saying how, like, this mysterious figure can, like, play tricks on people and stuff. What if he's actually the leader?
Yeah, it's possible.
Like, maybe he was just playing tricks on Simmons. Like,
well,
he was using her to try and get back.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Hydra's been around for thousands of years,
yeah,
but they want us to believe that Red Skull was one of the people who started Hydra. Well, or they did before all this other stuff.
Yeah, that's before this kind of, like, revelation that was just kind of like the rebirth of Hydra, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, the... Not really rebirth, because it's always been there, you know? It's just kind of, like, resurfacing of Hydra.
Right, like a resurgence.
Yeah. But I think this leader, whoever this guy is, it's supposed to be, like, the real deal or whatever, you know? I don't know who it is. Who do you even have an opinion of who it could be?
I do not. I mean, like, most of, like, the main people in Hydra, like, have been dealt with, at least, you know, through the movies. Like, Red Skull has been dealt with, Baron Strucker has been dealt with. He was killed in Age of Ultron, and, you know, his nephew, grandson, whatever, son, who was just killed recently,
mm-hmm,
on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's like, you're already dealing with all these high-ranking Hydra members, and then last season we had, you know, high-ranking Hydra members, and, like, pretty much almost everybody in Hydra has been killed. So, where does that lead us? With more people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so I don't even know who could have started Hydra as far as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes.
Well, I'm not really, like, concerned about who started it, because as far as they, you know, informed us or whatever, it's this guy stuck on the mystery planet. I'm just more concerned as, like, well, one, who is he, and is he still alive? And if he is still alive, Like, I mean, what? Like, I don't know. So many questions about him. He's so just mysterious.
Right.
But I don't know. I think that's all we got on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., guys. Just kind of moved to rankings real quick. I gave it like a 9.0.
Yeah, I think 9.0 is a good rating for this episode.
Yeah. So, as always, make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Nerdy Boys Reviews. Go check out our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Check out the forum section. Our buy lists are up every week.
Yeah.
Or Christian's buy list, really. I actually just started subscribing back to books, apparently. I was bamboozled.
He was bamboozled.
I wasn't really even happy with what I read either. Kind of depressing. I might cancel it again.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the buy list from this week, there are reviews of Carnage number 1 and All New Wolverine number 1 up there. So you can check those out. What did you pick up and what did you think?
Oh man.
You picked up Lois and Clark and Superman American Alien.
Yeah. The third book I haven't read yet, but I really didn't know how to feel about Lois and Clark. It was a little strange or whatever. Still kind of, I think I just have to read more issues to kind of formulate that opinion. Essentially what it was is, you know, this Lois and Clark are from another part of the multiverse, and it was the part of the multiverse that during Convergence, when Brainiac allowed some of the Justice League members to go back to the first crisis and restore the multiverse to what it used to be. And I don't know if they, apparently they didn't have a home to go back to at that point anymore, so they decided to come to our Earth. And this Earth already has a Superman, so there can't exist two Supermen. So him and Lois have a son, and they take the last name White, and you just kind of see that kind of unfold just a tiny bit. There's not really much to go off of. It was a little compelling, but like I said, I definitely have to read more to get that full scope of an opinion for it. The other one, what was it called?
American Alien.
Yeah, American Alien, like Superman. I feel like it's just a prequel to what is going to happen, like, from Smallville. I mean, really, basically what it is, you know, the Kents, a meteor hits Smallville outside their farm. They got Clark and just kind of has him as a boy, you know, kind of getting a grasp on his powers. I mean, that's what it's a fun title. I like it so far through number one. I definitely recommend that title. That one is just kind of more of a issue to issue kind of deal. Like, you'll be hit or miss or whatever, but I think Lois and Clark is more of like the long haul overarching story and stuff. Like, you'll have to read all of them to understand it or whatever, but this one is a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think that's all we really have this week. Yep. But next week we will be talking about the crossover event,
as super exciting, well
as the mid-season finale of Gotham. We'll also have all our regular shows. We'll probably talk about the first episode of Jessica Jones next week as well. You know, because that's exciting.
That's exciting.
And also, something that from that show that made me think was Luke Cage says Sweet Christmas. And he says that throughout the comic books. It just, like, makes me think about how Marvel characters all have, like, taglines, but DC characters really don't.
Yeah.
That's funny. But
okay.
Anyway, that's all we have. Sorry for our awkward argument in the middle of this podcast. But be sure to check out, of course, our social media at Nerdy Boys Reviews, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. You always know how to get a hold of us, guys.
Come on.
But yeah, that's all we have for you guys this week.
Hell yeah.
That's
my tagline.
Is it?
Yeah.
Dope.
Like, imagine, like, the Kool-Aid Jammer guy. You know how he busts through walls? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Are you going to bust through bad guys' faces?
Yeah, and be like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's gotcha. Basically how I imagine myself saying it.
Okay.
Like a total badass.
Gotcha.
Crazy. Yeah.
So, that's everything, guys. We hope you had a great week. And all that good stuff.
And all that jazz.
So, that's going to wrap us up. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Randy.
Randy? Where'd you come from, mate?
Where'd you come from, Nigel?
Oh, I didn't know. I was at this punk's Thanksgiving party. I was with this guy, Christian, this bloke, and his family was like, who the fuck are you? Why are you talking British? I'm like, who the fuck are you? Where's my turkey, bitch?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds like a real fucking lame Thanksgiving.
It was a riot, I'll tell you.
It sounds pretty fucking lame. I was fucking turning up at this pub back down the back alley street over there, over yonder.
With a woman named Weona?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I was there too.
Are you lying to me, mate?
Absolutely.
All right, you guys.
Get out of here, skimp, scallywag.
Yeah, damn. This guy's out of control, guys, I tell you what.
Out of control? Like, I have security here. Like, I don't know why I don't just kick him out.
I just let him wander our studio.
They managed to keep out the 4-year-old, but they can't manage to keep out these grown British men.
Jesus.
Ugh.
But anyways, I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian. And as always,
stay nerdy, boys.